Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, rather division. Wow. Not exactly what we expect to hear from Jesus, the Prince of Peace. If you've brought somebody to church today who hasn't been in a long time, you're probably thinking, wow, I picked the wrong Sunday. Not exactly what we hope to hear on a pleasant, rainy but gentle rain, a pleasant summer morning in August. Our Sunday readings, they follow this three-year cycle we call the lectionary cycle. So if a preacher is lucky enough to be on vacation in August, at the right year, in the right years, one would not have to preach on this text on a lovely summer morning. As I was thinking about this, I realized that it's possible the last time that I preached on this text was actually 12 years ago here in Richmond. I remember it well for a number of reasons. It was August of 2001. We were on the eve of something we did not know what. I was serving at St. Paul's downtown. My rector was out recovering from surgery, and as I looked out into the congregation, preparing to preach a sermon I did not feel very good about at all, who did I see sitting in the congregation? None other than Peter James Lee in a bow tie, the then Bishop of Virginia. 12 years on, I have more enthusiasm for preaching this text as I have a greater awareness about debates over these passages, what they mean, how they've been used, and a better understanding of Christ's call to follow his example of active nonviolence. 2 years ago, I was privileged to attend a week-long workshop given by the Jesuit priest John Deere. Some of you may know him more than others in the Episcopal Church. He's not very well known, but he actually ministered here in Richmond for a time. He was here, and he's written extensively on Jesus and peace and how it's all connected and nonviolence. He was giving a workshop at, of all places, the Ghost Ranch in New Mexico. It's such a funny name. It's a Presbyterian retreat center, conference center, where George O'Keefe lived for a time. John Deere has not only written extensively about Jesus and peace, but he's really lived that life. He's one of my heroes, I would say. He's been active with the Berrigan brothers, you may be familiar with them, a real companion and just such a voice for peace and nonviolence in our world. We spent days together, a group of about 20 of us, analyzing and discussing the Sermon on the Mount. In that, of course, we hear these words, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." What does it mean to be a peacemaker in our time? How can we be peaceful and yet active in our pursuit of justice for all? And what does Jesus teach us about this? John Deere tells us that Jesus is neither passive nor silent. Rather, he is provocative and daring. How do we understand this Jesus of peace when we hear in the reading, we hear him say, "I've come to bring fire, fire to the earth"? I was speaking last Sunday a little bit about these gospel accounts, how they were written by followers trying to tell the story of Jesus and going through their own circumstances of life. It was turning out to be difficult to be a follower of Christ. Many were reacting to these new Christians with anger and violence. And, of course, they'd seen this happen to Jesus, that he was killed. His ongoing presence with them through the resurrection and the Holy Spirit gave them courage to continue his mission, even though it caused trouble, a lot of trouble. Families were divided, business as usual questioned, and the status quo challenged. The followers of Christ were realizing this new way of living in the world challenged the norms of culture, religion, and society. And when we challenge the norms of culture, religion, and society, conflict with the majority, conflict with those powerful in certain systems will be the result. It's not that Jesus is violent or supports the use of violence, but that the advent of Christ in the world brings conflict with those who are not sure that this way of peace and justice is what they really want. They may say it's what they want, but they don't really want it if it impinges on what they've got going for themselves. It might rock the boat, it might cause change, demand change. Remember the story of Jesus sending the demons into a herd of swine? These people were possessed, or this person, and he sends the demons into pigs, healing the person. The healing led to that. The pigs run off the cliff, and the townspeople are furious because the pigs were their business. It's how they made money. Sure, everyone is for healing until it cuts into the profits. The encounter with Christ calls for a decision. We see this time and time again in the gospel accounts. People who spend time with Jesus, they change, like we are changing here today. They're transformed. They grow. They choose to walk that path following him, or they make, and you see this in the Bible, they make a very clear decision not to, because it's too hard, they think. Our reading from Luke's Gospel is also in the context of Jesus journeying, heading to the cross, the conflict with those who will kill him rather than change is about to come to its climax. This is the baptism of which Jesus speaks, his death in this context. He brings division and not peace. As I've said, not everyone wants it. David Schlaefer, another person I know personally, he's written a commentary on this text found in Feasting on the Word. Barbara Bowen Taylor and others have put together a great new commentary series, Feasting on the Word. David says that suffering and death will be the baptism into which Jesus will be completely immersed. The fire he has come to cast on the earth is not so much an eschatological destruction, the end times destruction, but the divided and often hostile responses that the Spirit-inspired proclamation of Jesus' death and resurrection will engender. Jesus was nonviolent and calls for his followers to be nonviolent. Oh, you say, but wait a minute, I'm remembering, what about when he overturned the tables in the temple and he was so angry? This scene is often used by people who want to justify violence, that Jesus was violent and that we can be violent too for the right reasons. But that table, if you know what was going on, what it looked like there at the temple, it was so small in this vast space. It was so small. It was a symbolic act that hurt no one. But it is an active nonviolence. That's what we mean when we say active. He did do something, but it hurt no one. John Deere, in his book entitled Jesus the Rebel, Bearer of God's Peace and Justice, it reminds us of what Gandhi called Jesus. Gandhi called Jesus the most active nonviolent resistor known to history. Deere goes on to say, like Gandhi marching to the sea to make salt and Dr. King walking illegally through Birmingham's downtown park to protest segregation, Jesus wages a public campaign of peaceful revolution from Galilee to Jerusalem, where, and according to all four Gospels, he disrupts this business in the temple, the center of Jewish life, disrupts business as usual. He practices nonviolent civil disobedience, calling for prayer instead of commerce. And the three synoptic Gospels, not John, but the others, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all say that this is what led immediately to his arrest, jailing, trial, torture, and execution. Anger, let's look at anger for a minute. Anger is a natural emotion to have in the face of injustice. Haven't you been angry when you've seen people hurt, when you've seen people being taken advantage of, not treated well, or in your own life that's happened perhaps to you? Emotions are never sinful. They just are what they are. And it is what we do next that matters. How we process these emotions. We can choose to be violent or nonviolent. In fact, this is why it's so important to feel these emotions rather than suppressing them, so that we can deal with them and move on rather than getting stuck or acting out and not knowing why. Jesus' words we hear today have emotion, and rightly so, in the face of his coming death, in the face of injustice. The fire Christ brings to the earth is a cleansing fire. The fire of the Holy Spirit that calls us to name injustice and pursue peace as Christ did. The Holy Spirit, God with us, Christ's gift to us, nudges us to be prophets, sometimes with more intensity than we might like. What sets your heart on fire? Is God calling you at this time in your life to challenge something or someone who is hurting others? How are you called to follow Jesus in this way of the prophets? Jesus sounds very much like the prophet John the Baptist, very much in the mode of the Old Testament prophets in our reading. The Old Testament prophets challenged their society and their religious leaders to care for the poor, the widows, the orphans, the strangers in their midst, urging people not to take part in religious practices and then ignore the reality of God's world. From Isaiah, we heard today what's called the Song of the Vineyard. This lesson for the people, this focuses on God as the creator of the world, God who does everything to make the vineyard fruitful, digging it, clearing it, planting it, expecting good grapes, but there were wild grapes, expecting justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but instead, here's the cry of suffering. Jesus stands with these prophets of old, calling the people to see what is really happening around them, to see the signs of the times. He says, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky. Why do you not know how to interpret the present time? When we look around, when we move out of this building today and we look around our world, all around us, how are we interpreting the present time? Here at Holy Comforter, we are seeking to address justice issues God has put right in front of us, right around the corner. We deal with issues, we're willing to talk about issues of race and hunger, discrimination, economic disparity, educational inequality. We are looking and we're trying to act and do the best we can to follow Christ through many different programs and ministries we have here. Following the Prince of Peace, we are called to an active nonviolence that may result in upsetting someone. That's actually a good thing. It shows we're actually doing something. Upsetting someone. We don't want to, though, right? That's not really Episcopal. But it's okay. It's really okay. And I pray that God will give us the grace and the wisdom and the courage to follow Jesus in this way of peace and love that is neither passive nor silent, but rather provocative and daring. Amen.